AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Good to be with you. Jam-packed today. Double Democrat of the Day action. I'll get to that in a second. Hunter, do you have fun plans for the weekend?
No, not really.
The excitement and joy that is Hunter, the producer. I'm going to go apple picking. The one great thing about picking apples is that if you put them in a nice, cool place, fridge, something like that, mm-hmm. they last for months. And there is really nothing better in my mind than pulling an apple off a tree, and it's cooled, naturally cool in the morning, and taking a bite. Oh, my.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful.
Oh, my. So I will be in apple heaven this weekend. thanks for being with us today. A lot to get to. I'm going to try my best in about 9 minutes to update the Kavanaugh situation. That's a little bit later on. I'm going to try to do a 9-minute recap of what's happened today, plus an ugly story involving defrauding of the military. We'll talk about that. But a little bit later on, Secretary of State Steve Simon is going to join us. We're going to talk about his campaign, plus as well absentee voting. I voted today. That's right. I voted today, and you can too. We'll talk a lot about that coming up. But down to 28B we go. Thomas Trias is joining us right now. He is the Democrat running for the House seat in the very southeastern district in the state of Minnesota. He's kind enough to take some time today to talk about his campaign. Thomas, thank you very much.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Now, Trias, I said that correct?
That's exactly right.
Beautiful. I want to start off really quick here. Last week, we had some pretty heavy-duty storms. I know a lot of parts of the southern part of the state were hit hard. Was your district hit at all very hard?
We escaped most of it, but a town called Hoka, which is in the district, had a little bit of damage to the falls in Hoka, but nothing to residents. So we kind of lucked out. It kind of went over to Wisconsin and Coon Valley and over by La Crosse. So We managed to make it out okay.
Your district is in the very southeastern part of the state here. I don't know if you are a fan of the Green Bay Packers, but you do us a favor by being close to those people. the buffer zone for the rest of us.
It can be a little tough in a town called La Crescent, which is on the border with the river there in Wisconsin. And we had Apple Fest. You talked about apples. Apple capital of Minnesota is La Crescent, which is the biggest town in the district. And we had a parade the weekend that the Vikings played the Packers. So it was a little awkward with the Packer-Viking dynamic there.
Well, I'm glad you guys had a wonderful time down there, and it's you keep those guys at bay. You keep them across. La Crosse. We have La Crescent. We'll just keep it that way.
Right.
Thomas Lint, why don't you give a little background? Who exactly is Thomas Trias?
Yeah, well, I'm a fifth-generation resident down here. I grew up in my little outside of a town called Spring Grove, which is a town of 1,300 people. I live in a township called Wilmington Township, and my parents grew up there about 150 years ago. My ancestors came from Norway, settled the land, started farming and taking care of the property there, and I still live there, which is super cool. And now I serve on the school board. Local school board in Spring Grove. We have our own little school district here of about 350 kids, K-12. So all of the district that I'd represent in 28B is small towns. Like I said, La Crescent's the biggest town. So small towns and farms. And that's kind of why I'm running to help preserve and protect our rural communities.
You are by far not the only person with school board experience or education experience that this time around is running for office. Was that experience that you've been having, is that a motivator for you to run? What exactly prompted you to say, you know what, I want to represent 28B?
It is exactly why I started to run in the first place. And I actually announced I ran in 16 as well. And so joining the school board right away, I realized that our hands were tied on a lot of different issues. Of course, funding being the biggest barrier, but some of the unfunded mandates and all the testing requirements and all the requirements that the state puts down that might work for some districts and might not work for others. And so, but funding, of course, is the biggest. Over 80% of our funding comes from the state. So if the state doesn't do their part, then we have to go to our taxpayers, and our tax base isn't as big as some other districts in Twin Cities. Or other parts of the state. So I said, we need a voice in St. Paul that'll look out for our small school districts.
you know, it's one of the things, Thomas, which is really interesting, is that this is not only a rural school district issue. The inner city schools are grossly underfunded for what they've got, too. There are problems with the state funding of education. That it's dynamic, because small communities, like you're saying in your personal experience, it shows that if you don't change this, we're going to end up losing these school districts, and that's a huge part of the character of the communities. But then as well, it's also just a reluctance to deal with a very large problem, that the state needs to rethink how education is funded as a whole, and that to make sure that these school districts, and especially in outstate Minnesota and in the inner city, are basically funded correctly so that they're not crippled by one or two minor upgrades or changes in the dynamic.
Exactly. We see, since I've been on the board, the biggest challenge has probably been facilities. A lot of our buildings are just really old, and to keep up with technological advancements and in education and keep up with safety kind of measures that trying to keep our kids safe and create a dynamic that's a 21st century environment has been extremely difficult for us as a very old building. We haven't really done a whole lot of upgrades. Maybe, you know, the new additions to our school was in the 20s and 30s, and we've done some renovations here and there in the 80s and 90s. But yeah, that's been the biggest challenge. So it's going to be great to have a few more, you know, pro-education educators or legislators in rural districts like mine in St. Paul making these decisions for us.
Well, and I want to make sure everyone hears what you said. 1920s and 1930s, that's when most of your school district buildings were initially built, and there are some that haven't even been upgraded since then, correct?
Yeah, I mean, we've done some minor upgrades and stuff like that, but for the most part, the general structures are the same, and the, you know, the cells and bells sort of school district, traditional school district model still exists. And so it doesn't really adapt to the needs of students today in 2018. So to me, that's been kind of the biggest barrier. But we're doing what we can with what we have in our school districts. I mean, we spend a lot less per kid than a lot of other districts. But if you look at the disparities in spending per kid, I mean, you can get the average in Minnesota spent per kid is about $11,000. In my district, the average is about $8,000 per kid. So quite a disparity there.
And one of the things that's a problem that we have today with the current system is that when people say, well, just put a referendum on the ballot. Well, as you described, most of your district is is farmers. Is when you're looking at the margin for a farmer being $25,000, $26,000, asking them to give you $500 of that to upgrade facilities, I mean, it's not necessarily that they don't want to. It's just they can't feasibly do it when the margins are so tight for the ag sector. I mean, this is why the people we need to have everyone in St. Paul on board is because the referendum solution is not a solution that works in many communities.
That's exactly right. And when commodity prices are sky high, you know, maybe in 2012, 2013, yeah, farmers were willing to dish out more. But as they are now, I mean, there's no money in farming as far as the cash flow goes. And so these tariffs are really hurting us in southern Minnesota disproportionately. And so, things are really not great for farmers. And so the last thing they want to do is dish out more property tax.
When you talk to farmers out there, let's bring that up next, is I mean, I've heard this before. There are numerous other outstate districts. I especially talked to a few people out in the very western part of the state that have said, oh, yeah, these tariffs are actually they're scaring people because they're impacting now. And it doesn't look like there's any time soon that these are going to ease up.
Yeah, there's definitely a fear in the air here. there are, especially with younger farmers. I'm 28 years old, and I don't farm full time, but I help my dad. He still farms corn and beans, but he's 65. You know, he's the farm's paid for. I mean, he's been farming his whole life. But for my generation of farmers, it's extraordinarily scary because there's a lot of debt accumulated there, and they've assumed and they borrowed for better prices, and the prices have tanked. And so, I think bankers are scared. I think a lot of especially younger farmers are really fearful out there. So a lot of anxiety, and I hope I don't know. I hope we stop this trade war on the federal level and we keep increasing trade on the state level. We just had a deal with Taiwan yesterday that the governor signed for about a little over a billion dollars in soybean trade with Taiwan. So things like that, I mean, will help, but we got to stop the trade war for sure.
And, you know, especially in Minnesota, I mean, with Canada, I mean, that's such a huge trade partner with us on a lot of different products. You know, there comes a point where the state itself, that the federal government's not going to help us out. We need to have leadership in St. Paul that's going to buck the trend of Washington, D.C. and basically put forward a policy that's going to help Minnesota. And I think that that's what we need in St. Paul as well.
Exactly. That's what I see, too. I mean, the federal government's going to do their thing. They're fighting and picking partisan battles left and right, but the real change is going to happen. Real progress is going to happen, state and local.
It is a very pretty part of the state. I have been down there a few times. I've been in La Crescent. I have been down to the apple orchards down there. They're magnificent. It's a great time. I'm setting this up. It's a great time to visit 28B in the very southeastern part of the state. Correct.
It is a beautiful time. The leaves are changing. This district down here, it's two counties. So it's all of Houston County, all of Fillmore County. It's 1,431 square miles, Matt. So that's a little under the size of Rhode Island, mm-hmm. the state of Rhode Island. So it's a big area, and there's plenty of doors to knock. Mm-hmm. And we have 64 precincts down here. So it's a big area, but we've been hitting going to every town festival. We're doing our final parade tomorrow in Wyckoff, a town in Fillmore County. That's number 17 since wow. May. So if you want to come to the Wyckoff parade, we'd love to see you there at 11. And then we're going to do some more door knocking after that. And that's pretty much all I've been doing all summer and fall is knocking on doors, talking to voters. They're ready for a change, and we're ready to provide that change.
Well, and it should be mentioned, your district is well within the margins. We've seen a 20-point swing in this country from the right to the left, and this district is very much within play. Fillmore, Houston counties, 28B. Think about this, people. You can go out of the city. Once again, help your local Democrat. But if you're in a relatively safe district, then take some time. Head on down. Sounds like some good apple picking to be had down there in 28B. Go down, pick some apples, do some door knocking, or if you can, write a donation out. Help out Thomas Trias in 28B and see if we can help get him to St. Paul to help out his district and help out the state as a whole. If a person wants to find out about volunteering or donating, what's the website they should go to?
ThomasTrias.com, T-R-E-H-U-S, ThomasTrias.com. Check it out. You can donate. We've already raised over $50,000. So for a state house race, I think that's pretty good, Matt. And we're going to raise more because our opponent is the chair of the tax committee. And so he has pretty much unlimited resources. He's going to raise over $100,000. He's blown through the caps already. So we need to keep up with that as best we can. And we're outworking him on the doors, but we're expected to see a whole bunch of negative ads in the next few weeks, so we got to combat that. So I'd appreciate all the help that we can get down here.
Thomas Trias. Now, once again, it is Thomas, T-H-O-M-A-S, Trias, T-R-E-H-U-S.com. I'll link to all this on social media a little bit later on. Thomas, 28B, thanks for being Democrat of the Day. I really appreciate the time and all my best as we head towards November.
Hey, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thomas Trias is once again joining us. Democrat of the Day, let's take a break. Come on back. I will try my best to update you on what the heck happened in Washington, D.C., but reality is there's so much that's been going on. It's insane. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
This is Dan Brooks, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with RBC Wealth Management. For the past 19 years, I've been managing wealth for individuals, institutions, and corporate retirement plan sponsors. Throughout my career, I have seen common traits in successful investors. They include the courage to be diversified, the willingness to work with a professional, the discipline to follow a plan, and patience. I welcome the opportunity to help contribute to your financial success. Call me at 612-371-2396.
You don't have to be an expert camper to enjoy the Boundary Waters. Big Bear Lodge is your home away from home that still lets you experience the Northwoods in authentic and modern woodsy cabins. Upon arrival, you'll be greeted by the owners whose priority is your relaxation. Take in amazing sunsets, stargazing, and moose viewing near the Gunflint Trail. There are free use of canoes and kayaks, guided pontoon tours, and private docks and fire pits. So come find your smile at Big Bear Lodge. More at BigBearLodgeMN.com.
Stages Theater Company is dedicated to creating a space where diverse opinions, courageous dialogue, and community engagement is not only valued, but vital to our shared artistic and educational success. Stages Theater Company creates a welcoming home for all. For over 30 years, Stages has supported quality theater programming for children. Stages gives opportunities for youth to be on stage, backstage, in the audience, and in the classroom. Whether you come to see a show, enroll a young person in a workshop, or benefit from their outreach programs in the community, Stages brings art to life. Learn about Stages Theater by going to stagestheater.org and become part of the magic of live theater by taking your family to an amazing show or enrolling someone you love in an education program. Stages Theater Company operates out of the Hopkins Center for the Arts, located in Main Street in the heart of downtown Hopkins. For more information on Stages Theater, go to stagestheater.org. That's stagestheater.org.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of the Minnesota Hospice and Healthcare Show, your source for elder care and caregiver solutions, inviting you to listen to our live call-in show airing on Saturdays from noon to 1. Each week, we provide answers to important questions regarding elder care and caregiver issues to help you and your loved ones plan for the future and enjoy your best quality of life. Please join us this Saturday from noon to 1 for the Minnesota Hospice and Healthcare Show and learn more about us at minnesotahospice.com.
Thomas Trias, 28B, southeastern part of the state. We need to take that. That's like a 10-point race last time around. We can win that seat. And wouldn't it be nice to take the pro-big corporation tax guy out of the house and put Thomas in there? I like that idea quite a bit. ThomasTrias.com, which is T-H-O-M-A-S. And once again, Trias, T-R-E-H-U-S. I'll link to all of this a little bit later on, so look for it on the social media. So the Senate Judiciary Committee was interesting to say the least today. My personal favorite moment was when Chuck Grassley, and I'm paraphrasing, but I'm not paraphrasing too much. If only you Democrats would have done and said everything we told you to do and say, there would have been bipartisanship. Think about that for a second. If only you guys had sitting in the corner and shut up like we told you to, then we would have had a bipartisan solution. But no, Chuck Grassley is confusing one-party rule with bipartisanship. And that's, by the way, when you talk about dictators taking over a country, they have to have a lot of Von Ribbentrops, a.k.a. Chuck Grassleys, in the mix, who are saying, well, yeah, it is bipartisan. We just all agree. And if you don't agree, we need to purge you out of the House and Senate. I mean, that's kind of the mentality. The speeches to put the vote forward from the Senate GOP basically are paraphrased in this such way. There are men who sexually assault women. There are women who get sexually assaulted. And we're sure there are good people on both sides. I mean, that's what the Republicans were putting forward. That, hey, there's good sexual assaulters, guys. Come on. And I will say, too, I saw numerous people posting, isn't it funny when a young black boy is gunned down by someone? The first argument is, he wasn't a kid, he was a man. He wasn't a kid, he was a man. But here we have a grown adult who clearly has some anger issues, who clearly should not be on the Supreme Court, who clearly has some questions to ask about his behavior. And the reality is that he is, you know, he's just a boy. He was just a boy. He was just a boy. So here's where it stands. The Judiciary Committee voted on Friday to advance the Supreme Court nomination of Brett Kavanaugh. Now it goes to the full Senate. Now here's the interesting part. There are a lot of people who do not feel Mitch McConnell has the votes to get Kavanaugh approved. They just need 50 because then they can send Pence in to be the tiebreaker. That before, and this is beyond, Flake and Murkowski and Collins, the feeling is that there are at least three or four other Republican senators who are like, I am not about to put this anti-woman target on my back as I'm running for office here. Even Republicans in red states are like, this is not good for my election potential. So what they have done is they've sought a one-week delay in the full Senate's vote so the FBI could investigate Blasey Ford's allegations. The request came after speaking to Democrats in a room adjacent to the committee hearing room, which created much confusion and speculation ahead of the committee's scheduled 1:30 vote. And if you haven't seen it, I think the reason why Jeff Flake has put this forward is because he was basically confronted by victims of sexual assault at an elevator, and they were screaming at him. It's like, don't you dare dismiss us and dismiss this. To show that this has actually got some teeth to it, there is the Committee on the Judiciary. Chuck Grassley's committee has put forward this statement. The Senate Judiciary Committee will request that the administration instruct the FBI to conduct a supplemental FBI background investigation with respect to the nomination of Judge Brett Kavanaugh to be Associate Justice on the Supreme Court. The supplemental FBI background investigation will be limited to current credible allegations against the nominee and must be completed no later than 1 week from today. So it's a 1 week reprieve, but still, this is the problem for the Republicans. The longer this is out here and the more that we investigate, if they come back and they say, nope, there is credibility to Blasey Ford. And once again, Blasey Ford, there's not one Republican who says that Blasey Ford is uncredible. I mean, they all think that she's very credible, but it is what it is. Let me get him in. Randy is in Coon Rapids. Randy, you don't have a lot of time today, but go ahead.
Matt, I don't know if I want to. I should quote you from many years ago.
What's that?
And I remember Matt McNeil saying, sit down, shut up, we're in charge, we're taking over. I think that was when the Democrats were taking over in Minnesota.
No, that was after the Republicans screwed everything up so bad. Remember? Do you remember when Tim Pawlenty took the entire education budget and just threw it into a different fiscal cycle? Like that was something you should do? Oh God, that was funny. And thank God we had Governor Dayton come into the office because you know what? He fixed a lot of things. No, you see, is what happens is Republicans screw things up monumentally, and then the Democrats have to come in and fix their mess.
But opinion.
Well, no, that's it's called history. Do you agree with Flake's what he's and obviously his move here, which is going to go through a week long investigation at least on the Blasey Ford allegation by the FBI? Do you agree that that should go forward?
No, I don't agree at all. I listened to the whole thing, and I listened to her. And her own three witnesses said, this never happened. I don't remember.
No, Randy. No. There is one witness to it. Don't throw out fake witnesses. You're watching too much Fox News. This is the only other witness is his buddy, Mike Judge, who is basically locked into a resort in Delaware right now under double secret probation because they don't want him to see anyone. He was the other one in the room. He's already said, I blacked out. I don't remember any of it. But at the same time, he's not saying it did not happen. Plus the fact that are you saying to me that Blasey Ford set this up in 2012? When she told her therapist Brett Kavanaugh sexually assaulted me.
She never said Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah, she did. No.
The
affidavits, the sworn affidavits, her husband and the therapist, the sworn affidavits turned over said she actually said the name Brett Kavanaugh. And then a therapist in 2013 also has put a sworn affidavit forward saying that she actually mentioned Brett Kavanaugh by name in a session with her, a separate session.
Do we believe sworn affidavits now? Because I think the
okay. So Randy. You're a broken person, dude. You need to stop. You, Randy, in Coon Rapids said Al Franken had to resign on far less serious allegations before he could have an investigation. He just should resign. No investigation. All you're saying is have an investigation. If none of this proves to be true, then have the vote. He'll pass with flying colors. But you don't even want an investigation. That's funny. Democrats have to resign with no investigation because they're just wrong. But a Republican, quickly vote now, vote now, no investigation, vote now. Yeah, you're consistent, Randy. Consistently bad. Julie is in Minneapolis. Quickly, Julie, go right ahead.
Yeah, just quickly say, you know, Hartman thinks this is going to be kind of a farce. He didn't use the word farce, but he just thinks he's going to get jammed through anyway. See, my favorite Grassley moment was yesterday, the last hour of the hearings. I can almost give you the exact quote. Chuck, get off my lawn, Grassley said. How did he put it? Brett Kavanaugh was immature, and we've all done things like this as teenagers. That was my favorite. And I was happy to hear, Matt, that Hopkins High School had some kind of protest today, and there were hundreds of kids involved, and one was a senior girl, and she came out and said, you know, it's not okay to sexually attack teenage girls. And I thought, cheers me up.
And Julie, I got to let you go. No, it's not okay to sexually assault teenage girls. It's not okay. And regardless of what Randy in Coon Rapids says, it's not okay to do this. It's not okay to sexually assault a drunk person. It's not okay to sexually assault someone 35 years ago. And it sure as heck is not okay to start sexually assaulting teenage girls. It's not. It never has been. And the reality is, these people all know Kavanaugh is flawed. They know he's horrible. And that's why they want a quick vote and be done with it. Because then they can say, well, gee willikers, maybe they should have had an investigation. Yeah, maybe they should have. I'm 50-50 whether they'll jam this thing through. I will say this, if anything definitive comes out after this fact, because already a bunch of people, when Kavanaugh was screaming, I never got blind drunk, during his college, high school and college days, there's already a bunch of people who have been posting and who have actually sent notices to the committee saying, oh, he's lying through his teeth on that. He used to drink till he was passed out all the time. So he's already been caught lying. It's just, you know, my gut feeling is Republicans will say you either leave the Republican Party or vote Brett Kavanaugh. And that'll be interesting to see what happens. 952-946-6205. Take a quick break. Come on back a little bit later on. Steve Simon's going to join us. The Secretary of State talking about early voting. I voted today. Have you? It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Get inspired this weekend only at the Parade of Homes Remodeler Showcase. See amazing remodeled homes and discover how to turn your old home into your dream home. Get your free guidebook at Holiday, then plan your tour at paradeofhomes.org. Sponsored by Marvin Windows and Doors.
Parade of Homes, where dream homes come true.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. You know, I purchase my vehicles with Rudy Luther because I love my Toyota Sienna. But it's the extra things which make me a loyal Rudy Luther customer. A great example, the Luther Advantage Card. With every new and used vehicle purchase, you get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at Holiday Station stores and $5 off the Works car washes. The Luther Advantage Card keeps you happy in your Rudy Luther vehicle. Find out more today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Summer's over and the kids are back in school. That means you can call Zero Res to clean up all the dirt your family dragged in from the outside. Their patented powered water will clean up the toughest messes and won't leave behind any smelly dirt-attracting residue. I even had them clean up a mess earlier this summer from a few nameless friends who got a little clumsy with the wings and barbecue sauce. Just call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMinnesota.com and ask for the AM 950 special. Three-room Zero Res abide starting at $149. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. EatLocalMinnesota.com, restaurant of the week. Victor's 1959 Cafe, open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Fantastic place. You love Cuban food. I love Cuban food. Have you tried Cuban food? Go try Cuban food. It's Victor's. It is, once again, 3756 Grand Avenue in South Minneapolis. A quick reminder here, because we got a lot of people who are commenting on the Facebook video stream here. A lot of people enjoying the show, especially from the southeastern part of the state. Good to see everyone out there. Jeanette and talking about Amy Klobuchar. She did a great job. Lisa Gross, Randy is outrageous. I cannot believe his logic. It never seems to make sense. You figured that one out too, huh? All right. Curtis over at Native Roots. Hey, guys, how you doing? And a lot of people saying that they enjoyed Thomas Treehouse's interview. So I did appreciate him coming on as well. Quick story I wanted to make sure I mention. Norwood Young America couple's military funeral fundraiser under a federal fraud probe. Churned out of a pig barn next to Troy and Ranima's Walker Norwood Young America home with help from the mother and the buddies working, Troy said only in exchange for beer and food, the signature products of Dog Tag Furniture Incorporated have attracted national media attention for the noble cause they supported. When I found out not one veterans organization's sole purpose is to provide financial assistance for funerals, that's how Dog Tag got started, said Troy Walker, a 10-year Army veteran on Fox News, Fox and Friends, last year. I've done it in my garage and make over 100 flags and keep doing it. They have a pretty good system. But now Walker's nonprofit is under federal law enforcement scrutiny after authorities discovered that nearly all the $490,000 raised in the past year has instead allegedly helped pay for personal expenses like tattoos, private school tuition, mortgage payments, and a family trip to Disney World. Yeah, they're supposed to be giving this money to help out veterans, and the reality is they're not. Or at least there's an investigation. There's allegations of that. I'm going to show this on the camera. By the way, just a quick note, the Steve Simon interview was pre-recorded, so the camera will go dark here in just a few minutes here. But this coin, I got this coin. This is a general's coin. You don't get these things that easy. When I was working at Past Radio Life, we discovered that there was a unit that was heading out to Afghanistan. They were not having a farewell celebration because the main unit's headquarters was in Milwaukee, and even Fort Snelling, the actual military base Fort Snelling, was just a satellite area for them. So the big send-off was in Milwaukee, and most of the families could not make it over to Milwaukee for the send-off. So we managed to put together a little get-together for these family members, me and two other guys that did a heck of a lot of work, and they were really great guys, and we ended up doing a really nice send-off at the actual military Fort Snelling in Minneapolis. That went so well, we ended up doing this huge return from the service for these military troops in Minnesota. We had both senators there, Klobuchar and Franken at the time. Governor Dayton was there. Just a ton of people, lots of military people, a lot of great food. We did it was an amazing job. It was just such an honor to be part of that. It was a huge deal. We had it at historic Fort Snelling, and thanks to those guys still, it was a huge deal. So the general comes on over, and he gives me two of these, gives me a coin, and gives the other guy that was working with me a coin. And you don't get these that often. And from the 416th Engineer Command, from the two-star general, and and I appreciate this, and that still means a lot to me to have this. What had happened is the third person that helped pull this thing off, he didn't get one. So I gave him mine, and I didn't want to, but I did. Well, I told the general, I asked the general, I said, can I get a third one? He said, where's the one I gave you? I said, he's got it. He said, here, you come here, you give him this. He gave him one. General pulled me aside and said, tells me what kind of character of a human being you are, that you know what these things are, you know how important they are, and here you are, you gave yours away because you wanted to make sure that everyone else had one. He goes, that tells me the character of the man. That's one of the nicest things anyone ever said to me. General, thank you very much. Lieutenant General, I do appreciate that very much. Help the troops, and that's an ugly story. We're going to take a final break here early. Jeff, call back on Monday. We'll get your call there. Steve Simon joins us when we do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. Our theme this week is having hope and how hope and idealism are intertwined. I'll talk about Daryl Davis, a black man who succeeded in convincing some Ku Klux Klan members to renounce the Klan. Then I'll shift to those who have lost hope and to those who supply it. We all need hope. Ellie 2.0 Radio, engaging in real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Be sure to pick up your copy of this month's Natural Awakenings magazine, a free local guide to a healthier and more balanced life. Each monthly issue includes timely, local, national, and global stories. Learn about alternative and complementary medicine, nutrition, fitness for body and mind, personal growth, sustainability, and much more. Natural Awakenings can be found at area health food stores, food co-ops, and retail locations. More information is available at naturaltwincities.com. That's naturaltwincities.com.
This is Pat with PJW Automotive in New Brighton. I've been in business long enough to know that if you want to stand out, you better be the best. That's why I've assembled a top-notch team of automotive specialists who do the job right the first time. Bringing your car or truck to PJW Automotive is an investment in the future of your vehicle. Try us once and you'll see it's worth the drive to PJW Automotive. One exit north of 694 on 35W and online at pjwauto.com.
The fine folks at Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Find a huge selection from a locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. They are always bringing in top authors from around the globe for special in-store events. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or shop online at commongoodbooks.com.
The progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. We have an election coming up here in 11-6, and if the actions of the last few days don't tell you how important voting is, I can't help you. We, of course, have early voting in the state of Minnesota. We got a lot to talk about what's going on now, plus about an election for this individual coming up next. Secretary of State Steve Simon, kind enough to sit in the studio with us to talk about early voting and his campaign. Mr. Secretary, thank you very much for the time.
Great to be here again with
you. Yes, I do like having you come on in here. This is nice. I early voted in the city of Hopkins. And just to let you know, on the Secretary of State race, wrote in myself. No,
Did you? Well,
is there a bigger...
We could do a lot worse.
No, we couldn't. No, I would put money on that. No, of course, I will keep my ballot private. Wink, wink, wink. But just FYI, I did partake in this today. No, I do not. You do not.
And you are sporting a very stylish-looking I voted sticker.
Indeed, I am. I saw some early numbers. Brianna Biersbach, a few others are pointing them out in town. The early voting's been nuts.
Off the charts. We are only 1 week as of today. We are 1 week into the absentee ballot period. We are tied with South Dakota for the longest such period in the country. So a week ago, last Friday, we kicked off voting for the whole country, we in South Dakota. So now 1 week into it, here are the numbers. If you look at the comparison of 4 years ago, which is the best apples-to-apples comparison because it's the last non-presidential election
year.
Right, midterm year. So if you look compared to 4 years ago, we are at a 181% increase when it comes to requested absentee ballots, and we are at a 197% increase when it comes to accepted absentee ballots, meaning people who have already turned them in, and we go, yep, everything's good to go. That is extraordinary. Extraordinary.
That's unbelievable. I mean, those numbers by themselves, I mean, obviously, you know, the stresses that a nation goes through generally bring people out, or a state goes through bring people out to the polls. And we knew this was going to be a big year. But for this, I mean, is there anything comparable comparable sizes that shows you anything like this similar anywhere else in the country?
I don't know, because other states haven't started their absentee ballot period yet. Only a few have, South Dakota and us, and then a couple more in the last week have come on board. But I have to tell you, this has the makings, at least as of this point, of a very high turnout election. Now, look, when it comes to absentee, we don't know how many of these folks are just people who are changing their method of voting, how many of them are really new voters who otherwise wouldn't vote in a midterm. We can't know that by definition until after game day, which is November 6th. But I got to tell you, my suspicion based on this, and let's not forget a few weeks ago we had the primary in Minnesota, and that shattered all sorts of records. The combination of those two things, I gotta think that we are on course for some really, really high turnout. Now, we'd love to retain the number one title, that crown, which we earned in 2016 when we got up to number one from our former number six. I'm very proud of that. But regardless, I think the numbers are going to be very high. People are fired up to vote.
I want to bring up something that was interesting that happened when I went to vote. Now, once again, you vote various locations. Come election day, you have polling places that are generally scattered amongst the city. Now, in Hopkins, with the absentee voting, you can go to City Hall and do it. And there was an elderly man that came in and he says, "Am I in the right place? I usually vote at the fire station." And they were saying, "Yes, this is. If you want to vote today, you can vote here." There is a little bit of confusion about that. Not hard to understand because of the new process here, but generally within each individual community, there's set locations for the early absentee voting, which do not necessarily match up with the polling places on election day. Correct.
Correct. In fact, in the city of Hopkins, where I also live, and in most cities around the metro area in particular, yeah, there's one place per city. Except for the larger cities, but for most suburbs and other places, it's one in the city versus several on election day. But here's a way to clear up all of that. Remember, there are two ways to vote absentee between now and the election day. One is to do what you just did. Stroll into your city hall or into a county office. If you don't know where to go, our website is mnvotes.org, mnvotes.org. That's one way. The better way, in my opinion, is have the ballot come to you to vote from home. You can go to that same website, mnvotes.org, order the absentee ballot to come to you at home. And then on your own timetable between now and election day, you can vote those contests. You can vote one while you're making breakfast, put it down for a few days, pick it up again, vote another one while you're folding laundry, et cetera, as long as it gets back by election day. It's not like taxes where it's postmarked by. This has to get back by election day. As long as that happens, you're good to go, and you can vote from home, and then you don't have to worry about polling place and where to go and which one it is.
Well, it falls in consensus with the idea of being an informed voter. You can look at race per race. And once again, it's a two-sided ballot for my district. There's a lot of judges in the back. I might not know anything about those. This is a great opportunity. If you really do want to find out about those judges, you can find out who they are and whether you want to vote for them. I think that that is one of the benefits of having what you just said, having it at home and being able to, at your leisure, go over it.
Exactly. So many people tell me they like that benefit of that. They can do their own research on their own time, especially that back of the ballot can get tricky with the nonpartisan offices, and people want that, you know, just added breathing room to look into things on their own, not on the pressure of the polling place where there might be two or three people or more behind you. So people really love it. Here's a quick statistic. I don't want to bomb your listeners with too many numbers, but here's one that stands out to me. So a few years ago, before we passed the law that allows all of us now to vote from home or vote absentee for any reason, you used to have a reason and swear to a reason. So under the old system, the typical percentage who would vote absentee is 8 or 9% per year. Mm-hmm. In 2016, that number was almost 23%. So we got nearly a quarter of voters now, and I predict in the future it will climb even higher than that, who are voting before Election Day. That's going to have a lot of downstream effects, even including effects on politics and campaigns, right? I mean, if really that last weekend of the election, you're only campaigning to try to reach, say, 70% of the voters because 30% have already voted, that's going to change the way campaigns and candidates talk or who they talk to or where they talk. So there are a lot of things to consider, but all I know is people love this. They love being able to have that freedom and flexibility of voting at a time they want to vote.
One of the elements of this too, which is just brilliant, is that it's a Tuesday, and I mean, and you know, I've got kids, you've got sporting activities, practices, band, music, all these things. Tuesdays are tough for some people. What you have the ability now is anytime between now and November 6th, you basically can go and vote. Actually, November 5th, I believe it is the day the cutoff day on that. So it's November 5th, but you can go and vote on your leisure and do it on your own time, and that way you're not crunched. I did it today. because one of the things I'm going to do is help out some of the, my elderly friends who, you know, it's a little harder to get to the polls. It's so important to get as many people to the polls. I'm done. I don't have to worry about right. going to City Hall in Hopkins and voting on Election Day. I'm done. Basically, now I can help other people get to a vote, which is, once again, that's America.
Right. I would say there's one other thing that others ask sometimes. They'll say, you know, this early voting thing, this absentee voting sounds great, but what if I change my mind? I'm hesitant to vote early because what if there's a scandal or a debate or a TV ad or something that totally changes my mind on one contest? What do I do? The answer is that up until day minus seven, you can go and fish your ballot out of the pile because under state law, they can't start opening and counting and processing until 7 days before the election. It literally just sits in a pile. So for anyone out there in your audience, I would say, hey, feel free to vote today or tomorrow or next week or the week after. You're not locked in until day minus seven. You can go to Hopkins City Hall or wherever that may be for you, and you can pluck it right out of the pile, have them destroy the ballot, give you a new one, or just say, don't give me a new one. I'm just going to come in on game day, on election day. So you can do that. And that's something worth noting.
So if you're waiting for the inevitable Steve Simon scandal. No.
Right. No. Right. That last minute disclosure.
Yeah. I have known you for years. You are one of the most decent human beings I have ever met in my entire life. You are an absolute gem. Let's talk a little bit about the race.
You know, folks, he says that about all his guests.
Oh, no, so I don't. Know. Oh, no. I mean, Hunter can attest to this. I don't say that. Most of the guests, oh, no. you're fantastic. I was talking to Amy over at the City of Hopkins when I was doing this, and she said this, the exact thing. And in this day and age where really whether or not we follow the process is a question we're asking on all levels now and what processes we follow. What she said was, I love Steve Simon as my Secretary of State because he helps us follow the process and he makes it as easy as possible for us. And when you're talking about something of this magnitude, to have an endorsement of that, like that, you know, come free and clear. She doesn't know you necessarily. She knows of you, and she's worked a little bit with you, but it's not like you guys hang out. For someone to come forward and say that, it just shows me that you are the absolute perfect person to have as Secretary of State.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. My goal, my mission in this office has always been clear from day one. I talk about it. It's not very complicated. My mission is to make it as easy as possible for all eligible voters to vote, period. That's it. Not too hard to understand. And there may be some people who have a different vision of the office. That's cool. That's why we have elections, and we have one in 39 days, and people can decide which vision they want of the office. But that's mine, and it always will be.
It's also, it goes with the state in the sense being, there's a practicality to Minnesota that we generally don't fall for what you see other states fall for, these, you know, these allegations of corruption. I mean, anytime anyone has had a question about the process, the state, how people vote, you yourself will take the time and sit down with anyone and explain it to them. And that one thing that you do basically diffuses any of the hyperbole and exaggeration, which sometimes is the only thing that we sometimes hear in politics.
Well, I try for sure. And I always tell people if they've got something they want to talk to me about, they can email me. My email is steve.simon@state.mn.us. You can look it up. You can Google it. And there's no gatekeeper or filter or anything like that. It goes right to me. And so anyone in Minnesota has a gripe or an issue or a complaint or a suggestion, I'm happy to hear it. And I think that's part of making the process as open as possible, as transparent as possible. And that's one of the reasons why we enjoy so much confidence in our election system in this state.
Yes.
I don't think people would turn out in such high numbers unless they thought that the system was fundamentally honest, well-run, a system of integrity. And they do.
You are running for a statewide office. That is a monumental task. How many times will you cross the state in the next few weeks?
A lot. So on the official side of the office, I go to all 87 counties every year. Those aren't campaign stops, just on the official business. So I really do get around Minnesota a lot. But I'll be traveling. I'll be in Mankato this weekend. I'll be in North Branch. I'll be all sorts of places around the state just this weekend. So I'm crisscrossing a lot. And you got to do that. It's important. I think people expect it. So, you know, it's always, frankly, a challenge in a down ballot race. This is not a U.S. Senate race or a governor's race that's going to get a lot of attention and scrutiny and a lot of ink, so to speak. It's so there's a special challenge when you're running for attorney general, secretary of state, auditor, the so-called down ballot races. You really have to work hard to punch through and penetrate and get attention when most people, journalists and others, for all the obvious and understandable reasons, are more focused on those other races. So part of being on the show is letting people know and reminding them of the importance of this office and the importance of this contest, this race this fall.
You have one of the most unique positions, and it just dawned on me as I was saying is not only are a lot of your work is based leading up to the election, but you're also running for office. So yeah. It's a double whammy for you. There's going to be a lot of work for you. I'm going to make sure we separate these two things out. First of all, if someone would like to find out more about your campaign,
yes,
what website should they go to for information about your campaign?
They should go to SteveSimonMN.com. SteveSimonMN.com.
SteveSimonMN.com. You want to donate, volunteer, help out his campaign for another term as Secretary of State, SteveSimonMN.com. And let's once again go back, and I can say this, you know, going back to your professional job as not as campaigner, but as the Secretary of State, this early voting is just a gem. Gosh, is it great. And I can say it because once again, I just did it. And there are going to be so a little bit of confusion with that, and I will say this once again with Amy over in Hopkins, when that gentleman came forward with that question about, aren't I supposed to vote at the fire station? They said they had nothing over there. She sat down and she explained it to him. She talked about, he said, can my wife vote? She said, well, let me give you an application for her so she can put an application in for it. Having a process this simple and then having the ability that have really as much time as we have to vote in Minnesota, that is just a gem.
You know, and we're very fortunate. I mean, we have a lot of laws on the books at Minnesota that tend to reward and encourage voting, not just the early voting we have now. Keep in mind, we've had in the state same-day voter registration or election-day voter registration for 44 years, but we're still one of only 16 states that has it. So in most of the rest of the country, if you're not registered by, say, mid-October or early October in some cases, you're done. You are out of luck. There is no excuse. In Minnesota, of course, you can roll out of bed that day. Game day, election day, go to your polling place, register there and vote there. That has really moved the needle over the last 40 days. We've got online voter registration. We've got the early voting. So we've got a lot of stuff on the books in Minnesota that really helps and I think has helped get us to number one in voter turnout because for the average everyday person with kids to cart around, with health issues, with work issues, with all sorts of interruptions and unpredictability, you know, they don't necessarily want to be told that they can only vote on a particular day at a particular place during particular hours. They want that freedom and flexibility, and they're showing it by using it.
181% increase in requests, 197% increase in accepted absentee ballots, early voting in Minnesota. Once again, what's the website? If people want to find out any information about absentee voting or if they want to get registered and they want to vote in person on November 6th, what's the site where they go to for the information?
The one-stop shop is mnvotes.org, mnvotes.org.
mnvotes.org. Steve Simon, Secretary of State, kind enough to be in studio. Steve, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Always a pleasure.
It's absolutely been a pleasure to be with you this week. Doug Pageant is coming up next. We are back with a brand new show on Monday. Till then, see ya.